You're listening to Fly By Night, a podcast by FedEx pilots for FedEx pilots. Brought to you by the FedEx Master Executive Council of the Airline Pilots Association. And now, here's your host, MEC Communications Chair, Captain Chris Lee.
Back with me today is Scheduling Committee Chair, Captain Marty Harrington. Thanks for coming back on the podcast.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
Before we get into the May build week, which is the reason you're here, Monday morning, we all woke up to news that FedEx lost the postal contract. Can you talk to the pilots about that?
So Monday, obviously, was a bit of a shock to me. I was always under the impression from my peers at FedEx at management were saying, yeah, it looks like we'll probably retain some of it, most likely 50%. And that had been the narrative going forward for the past couple months. We had the SIG quarterly today, and I think we clarified a little bit of where we're going in the future. And the SIG quarterly, we have a number of people that attend from different areas of the company. It is to facilitate cooperation between the different areas of the company which impact pilot schedule construction, and includes global network planning, crew resource planning, flight management, GOC, CRS, aircraft acquisitions, charters, and flight safety.
Essentially the heart and soul of running the scheduling for the airline.
Correct. But again, I think that most pilots think about the CRS, crew resource scheduling. The guy that calls you is the company. But there's a lot of people behind that guy. The planning puts out the bid pack. Crew resource scheduling executes that plan. Acquisitions plans for years and ahead for the airplanes we get. Airline scheduling puts out the airline schedule. They give that schedule to crew planning, and they create the flight schedule as it is for the pilots. So there's a lot of things that go into that. I went into the meeting, and I had a number of questions. Will it be a transition period, and if so, how long? What is the expected overall airline block credit reduction? What pilot staffing reduction is anticipated, if any? How many domestic day flights do we expect eliminated in the consolidation after the transition? And what current day cities do we expect eliminated in that consolidation? When I read Justin Brownlee's communication came out just yesterday, he talked about our business and operations team have been evaluating planning for this possible contingency throughout the negotiation process. So I'm assuming, sometimes you have to make assumptions, but down at my level that I deal with the managers and senior managers creating the airline schedule, we did not do a complete airline schedule for zero postal service. So when I asked today, I asked them, well, what is the timeline to get the airline schedule? First, you're going to have to get an airline schedule. Then that airline schedule will be passed along to crew planning and staffing, and then they can create a staffing model from the airline schedule. They said today they started working on Monday. It'll probably take about a month for airline schedules to come up with an initial outline of where we're going to be after September. I asked, is there going to be a transition? As I understand it, and I was told today, we have that contract through September 28. After, will there be a transition? I'm not sure. The people I talked to today didn't quite know if there would be. But again, the airline schedule right now, they're planning for October to be zero USPS. Once the airline schedule is created, they'll port it over to crew planning, who will talk about staffing and actually what the pairings look like. So I know it's very difficult, but we're going to have to be patient. A lot of things are going to impact pilots' lives going forward on this. One of the questions I received this week is 482B, 482C. It is way too early to even start thinking about that. I'll say we are thinking about it, but until this picture clears, we're not going to know the true impact yet to the pilots.
Do we know how the current postal hours are broken out?
That's a good question. It's very difficult to actually quantify because the contract with the Postal Service was we need to service these, I believe it was 78, don't quote me on that number, a number of cities that we have to service for their two-day freight. We do not fill up the airplane with postal freight. So FedEx can put their two-day on it. They can put anything deferred or something that's deferred for later delivery on those planes. So my first question to my group was, do they designate specific postal flights? Is there a numbering system? The answer to that is no. So it's going to be very difficult to tease out the data from just postal versus our 2-day and other freight that goes on those airplanes. But going back to pre-postal, I can imagine the biggest impact will be the day flying in the 75 and the Airbus domestically. That day flying will probably be reduced quite dramatically starting in October.
Clearly, there's uncertainty with the pilots on the impact of this loss, but one of the questions we're hearing is all the day flying going away?
Again, I was here pre-postal, and I flew the 7-2 at the time, and I think there was one pairing that was daytime. It was a Fresno pairing, and it went very senior. And outside of that, it was hub turns, and the Airbus was very similar. There were a couple day flights in those, but primarily it was just night hub turns.
But not to get ahead of ourselves, that analysis hasn't been made, and you're working on trying to piece this puzzle together from your perspective, correct?
Correct. It's still very hazy picture right now. I think it'll clarify quite a bit once we get the actual airline schedule plan from airline scheduling, and then we'll be able to piece together staffing and the flight schedule from there for pilots.
Would you expect the company would have to do a system bid to clean this up?
We asked that question, as we stated last month. They were looking at after September, after the Cologne base was completely shut down, they were considering having a realignment bid, and they still would like to stick with that. But again, once we get the airline schedule, there's a distinct possibility that there could be a follow-on bid prior to that September timeframe. We're going to have to just wait a little. I know, I'm going to say it again. We're going to have to be a little patient in this until all the things fall out and we figure out what we're looking at post-September.
Has anyone given you any indication about the staffing issue with the pilots? Are we overstaffed? Are we not? Have we caught up?
We're currently overstaffed. The numbers are going to vary on that answer. I asked crew planning. The loss of postal contract, will it impact us on the staffing? And said, yes, it will have a substantial impact negatively to our staffing.
But like you always say, though, as of right now.
As of right now. Last month, we didn't know we were losing all the postal. My predictions were based on we were going to continue having the postal. The economy ramps up next year. The economy turns down next year. Both of those will have major impacts. I know Germany's in recession. I don't know if the entire EU is in recession, but I know they're struggling economically right now in Europe. So that could turn around. I do want to bring out something positive. Our international is still increasing. It's the domestic that's taking the hit with the postal. But we are continuing to increase. We're going to run a bunch of South American flights starting in September. That'll help. Attrition through people retiring. And we still have a number of people resigning. Although I do find it interesting. Last month, I think I said 16 resignations. We're up to 18 for the year, so only two people have resigned in the past month. One on April 1st.
Any update from aircraft acquisitions?
So the latest acquisition schedule, they're having some Boeing issues. They don't see any major issues with our deliveries. We still have two 777s coming on property and 15 more 767s. They did mention they're continuing to look at delaying the retirement of the MD-11s. They want to push those out to the right a little bit. What I've been told is that the MD-11 fits a specific domestic market, a larger sized market, and they can still use it internationally. We lost Djibouti due to security reasons. Now, they're going to reanalyze that next fiscal year. And the MD-11, if they could get that for the Djibouti run, they'll take the MD-11 down and do that run with it under charters. We'd love to see the MD-11 continue. They pushed everything before they were said they were going to retire them all by fiscal 28. Then that got pushed back to calendar 28. And I'm hoping it gets pushed back even a little further.
Aside from the news that we received on Monday morning, how's the build week going for May?
May is our second 5-week bid month of the year. And everyone loves the pay increase, but not so much the choppiness of the schedule. 5 weeks are more difficult to build. It's much harder week on, week off. You can't do that. There's always a zit thrown on if you have a longer week on, week off series. The credit trend, as you recall, March, I was a little giddy with the uptick. It came back down again in April and May. It's continuing to slide slightly to the negative direction. Nothing massive. There's no massive changes. And I think we'll see upticks and downticks in credit. Once again, almost all the bid packs have buy up except for the 777. And I'm not sure if most of that primarily is drive related. It may be some consolidation of some things, but I'm not seeing any major ups or downs outside of the March bid pack. The rest of the year really has been stable, and we're on a slight downtrend right now. But as I stated in the past too, the staffing continues to slowly improve with attrition through retirements and resignations.
And the Anchorage dispute issue?
We still have the ongoing disputes up in Anchorage. I want to reiterate, we work for all the pilots. We don't work for just one group of pilots. I think last year we saw a lot more departures in that Anchorage bid pack. Some pilots want smaller trips. Some pilots want bigger trips. We want a spread that everyone can live with. We want everyone happy. Again, you can't make everybody happy, but still there was an imbalance there. They went to way more shorter trips, and we would just like a balance in that bid pack to more what it was like in the past. We're not going to get back to the majority of single departure lines because we have so much more flying out of Asia, and we're just out and backs from Asia's and then out and backs to the US, Memphis and Oakland hubs and Indy hubs. But we still would like to make it at least on some level commutable. And the local pilots, we want to give them a good spread of pairings that they like to bid as well.
Since we're talking about the Anchorage disputes, you recently had an ongoing FERC dispute that was fixed. Can you talk to the pilot some about that?
For the past year, I've said it before on different podcasts that we have two separate tracks. We have the traditional dispute, which was the pre-2015 CBA. That is the disputes we're having up in Anchorage. We have another traditional dispute in the Memphis Airbus. But since the 2015, we've had FERC disputes every single month. And what that means is we don't identify the pairing. We send it to the Fatigue Event Review Committee, and they analyze it. They'll either fix the pairing, or they'll send it out for data collection. So we had an ongoing dispute. The pairing only operated once a week, and it operated through the Wackel. It was a two-leg. And we didn't get enough data back to make a recommendation. And what happened is one crew called in fatigued. And it just so happened that this was a high-value flight that we missed. And because of that one fatigue call, now that trip will be broken up into separate pieces. I just want to say fatigue calls and fatigue reports matter. They help when we're having these FERC disputes, and they help with us when we argue with the company that, yes, the added cost is not only a benefit to the pilots, it can also be a benefit to the corporation, where now you don't miss a flight.
Remind everybody what Scheduling Grievance 2318 is, and where do we stand with that?
We saw crew scheduling begin early assigning R24s a number of months ago. We debated it internally. We went to the contract, and we saw there were some provisions in there that really conflicted with what the company saw as their application of early assigning. And we do not agree with how they are applying the contract in this case. Not only does this impact R24 pilots, where they're getting their schedules 2 weeks out, or they're getting a trip 2 weeks out, that's one issue. The second issue is, in every case, the contract says you shall be released if they early assign. They're not releasing these pilots. And the third thing, it impacts every pilot when it comes to bid line adjustments. If I want to do some makeup, or I was out on mill leave and I'm trying to make some credit back, it's become very limited in some of the bid packs that have lower BLGs, Airbus 7.6, MD-11. And in fact, I just asked the other day, there's not much open time available for the triple either. So if someone loses some credit for, let's say they go sub and they go, I want it in makeup, there's very limited opportunity. So it impacts every pilot across the board. It's a very important grievance, and we're trying every way to mitigate the issue. The first 12 hours of open time is ours. Crew resource scheduling can't touch it. So I know it's a very limited window, but you do have that window when open time begins. You have 12 hours to pick up those trips. Outside of that, like I said, they're early assigning just about everything and filling our 24 schedules up with trips.
Before we end, can you talk some about recent emails or scheduling questions you've received?
Of course. In the past month, we've received a couple of emails regarding vacation and reserve, asking, I deconflicted my R days, yet the company removed more R days than I wanted. Now, this will be a plug again for our Scheduling Matters series. We have 4 articles focusing on vacation, vacations matter, max vacation, vacation reservations, and secondary vacation, depending on what line you have. I'd recommend for every pilot to download the series on your iPad, review it when you're flying from point A to point B. But for that specific question, it talks about if you have 8 days of vacation, they will remove 8 R days, even if it doesn't conflict anywhere in the month. So if you had just reviewed that, it's out there, the information's out there. And I would recommend any month you have vacation, review your scheduling matters on vacation prior to bidding your vacation.
Well, thanks again for coming in, Marty. And thanks for listening. If you have any questions, please go to our website, fdx.alpa.org, and utilize the DART link. And as always, be safe out there, and we'll see you next time.